Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson here on WLRN. Join the conversation on the website, WLRN.org, on Twitter at WLRN. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. We're talking about South Florida fashion. Already, Indiana Rocks tweeted us what South Florida fashion looks like in 90-degree weather. Sweaty? Well, like a lot of guys, I have a few blue suits. And when I moved to South Florida, I had to get rid of the wool blend suits. Those blue suits are one of the staples in the closets of many guys. Now, I bought dozens and dozens of suits in my career, and many of them are blue. But one shade of blue I'd never encountered until I moved here to South Florida. Now, that suit my wife calls Miami Blue. Now, I think it's a good-looking shade of blue, certainly. It's not the standard dark blue suit that you would see up north, certainly not. It's not light blue either. It's the shade of maybe the ocean a few miles offshore. It's a deep blue. It's a brilliant blue, a vibrant blue. It is a Miami blue. And yes, I bought it in Miami. Now, as I said, when I moved to South Florida, I had to buy a few new suits, like a lot of people do who come here. Most of the suits I had were for colder climates. They were wool blends. Those just don't work down here, obviously, even in February. So when I went suit shopping, the Miami blue suit was easy to spot among all of those dozens of suits on the racks, the navies and the pinstripes and the blacks and the grays. There was that one Miami blue suit. George, the clerk at the store I bought it at, grabbed it and, in fact, said, "Yes, Tom, this is your Miami suit." And it is, even today. I'm wearing it right now. South Florida obviously has its own style. And we have this global image of being a very fashionable place. Photo shoots on the beach, paparazzi stalking celebrities, and of course, world-class retail shopping for fashion. But does Florida really have a fashion industry? Do we really have a fashion business here, the kind that brings and grows jobs and grows economic opportunities for our entire economy? Now, if anyone can give us some insight into that question, it would be the guy behind such fashion brands as Janssen, Penguin, Perry Ellis. George Feldenkrais came to Miami from Cuba in 1961. His company, Supreme International, imported school uniforms and gaiaberas, a uniquely South Florida fashion style imported from Latin America. The company that he heads up is now known as Perry Ellis International. Now, last quarter, it sold more than $250 million worth of fashion merchandise worldwide. We spoke at his global headquarters in Doral. Does South Florida have a fashion industry, in your estimation?
Well, there is a fashion industry in Miami, or South Florida, but it is really minuscule compared to fashion industry in New York, Los Angeles, even places like Philadelphia, etc. And there are many reasons why that's happening.
Give me some of those reasons of why you think Miami, despite its image as a very fashionable place on the world stage, does not have even a medium-sized industry to support that image.
Well, I think that there are two main reasons. One reason is the fact that we don't have any institute of higher learning about fashion and retailing in South Florida. To my knowledge, the closest place where somebody could learn about retail, which is associated with fashion, is in the University of Florida. It has a school that is very well regarded in the country. And there is the Miami Art Institute that is really a design school. But that is not enough because fashion is not only fashion. Fashion has to be related to how will you retail that fashion. That should be complemented with a number two. And the number two big reason is that there are practically no retailers left in Florida. You have Stein Martin Jacksonville. You have Macy's in Miami, but or Florida, but Macy's doesn't have any kind of design or any activities other than being just a branch store. You have Chico's on the West Coast, but those are really within the context of retail. Those are relatively small enterprise. There is a lot that you should be able to learn in a learning institution because you need You need to learn about a lot about retail. You need to learn about how to treat customers. You need to learn about planning of how much merchandise should be in a store, merchandising. So, but there aren't enough retailers or even wholesalers in Florida to be able to build a big nucleus of design retail. Because we talk about design, but retail and is very interconnected. There is no to design is great, but if you cannot deliver a product and sell that product, the consumer doesn't identify with you. You don't get too far in life.
Now I have to stop playing back our interview here with George Feldenkrais, the CEO chairman of Perry Ellis International, for just a minute. We were talking in a boardroom at his headquarters in Doral, and my digital recorder, a must-have piece of device for any radio reporter, broke. So here we were talking South Florida fashion biz with someone who built a company, now selling $1 billion a year of fashion worldwide, and my recorder would not record. He had identified already, as you heard, two challenges for the local fashion industry, fashion design and technology education, and the lack of retailers actually headquartered here in South Florida doing their buying here. So clearly a lot more to talk about with Feldenkrais of Perry Ellis. I had no way of recording it. He asked an assistant to get his mini digital recorder, you know, that kind that you use to dictate notes or to record a lecture. We used it, and I should make you aware of two things here. First, despite using his recorder, he had no influence over the reporting. That's important to know. Second, you'll hear this sound every now and then. That's Feldenkrais's bracelet hitting the boardroom table as we talk, as he wanted to make a point. He likes to talk with his hands. So back to George Feldenkrais, Chairman, CEO, Perry Ellis International, headquartered in Doral. He's called the South Florida fashion industry minuscule because of the lack of formal education programs and no big retailers headquartered here.
The Miami fashion industry, how have you been able to address those and overcome them at Perry Ellis International?
Well, I started at a very little company. I started from nowhere. So in the old days, there was a lot of specialty stores, etc. So you would take a bag with guayaberas or shirts and go out and sell. As time went on, we had to, we started in the very late 80s. We bought a Macintosh, and which was in those days, they were the best graphic systems. And we started design using a computer. And frankly, in those days, I used to go to New York, and I was very proud that a Cuban refugee could be ahead of New Yorkers in design. And we have invested a lot in software and in computer technology, and I think that's one of the things that have helped us become very successful compared to other companies.
George, how have you addressed the shortcoming of retail buyers in South Florida to address that second weakness you see in the industry here?
Well, the reality is that our company is very decentralized. From a sales standpoint, we have three operations. The Miami operation takes care of what we call the golf business and the bottom business. We are a very large company in pants and shorts, etc. And from Miami, we also manage our retail operations. On Perry Ellis, we have about 45 outlets, and Penguin has some 22 stores. But then in New York, we have more offices than in Miami, a lot more square footage than in Miami. And we have all our showrooms. And the Perry Ellis operation is in New York. There's nobody in Miami doing Perry Ellis. There's nobody in Miami doing original Penguin. And there's nobody in Miami doing women's business. And then we have an operation in Los Angeles that does Janssen and other swimwear. Each one of these, we have had to do that rather than concentrate everything in Miami, because we have not been able to get local talent for design and merchandising and even sales. So we ended up operating outside of Miami. Miami represents really about 50% of our business. The other 50% is New York and LA, Portland.
By 50%, you mean in terms of...
In terms of revenues.
So as you travel your operations and you look at your various operations, you still come home to Miami.
Well, I'm a Cuban, so for me, Miami has a very special meaning. This is my... I really grew up here. I came here, I was 25 years old. This is my country. I love the United States more than anything.
So what's the message then that that you would like to give to the local community in that regard as somebody who has a special connection here to Miami?
Somebody, maybe the governor of Florida, should take a look at what can be done in South Florida to be able to incentivize and to help. And let me tell you something, retail in Latin America is changing dramatically as the standard of living of those countries
is, that right?
is improving. So Miami could be a center of teaching, of learning, retail and apparel, and all kind of retail for that matter, and fashion also.
Is Miami letting an opportunity go by because of this growth in retail?
I would think so. I would think, you know what the big, in the old days, Americans used to be the big colonizer that used to go to countries and open up this, open up that. You know who are the colonizers in department stores today in Latin America?
Who's that?
The Chileans. Miami, it's an opportunity, but it would have to come as an initiative from the state or the federal government. I don't think federal government will do any of that. But that's something that I've been thinking, and maybe next time I see the governor, I'll bring it up to him.
What would you say to your fellow fashion brand executives about South Florida, business climate, as well as the climate to grow this business as you have into a billion-dollar enterprise?
You know, the sad part about it is that retail business in Florida is fairly good. Mm-hmm. And whether it's Macy's or Dealers or any of the retailers or the off-prices like Marshalls and Ross, which are a major factor today in retailing, or for that matter, Sam's or Costco or Walmart, they all have very good operations in Florida. And they need talent, if not at the level that we talk about, which are the higher levels, which they don't do in Florida, but they still need good people that know how to retail, that know how to attract customers to a store, that know how to deal with a customer when he finally gets into the store, etc. And so there are a lot of opportunities here to improve our standing, rather than them bringing people from out of state to where we would have local people that we could be training.
How is your business in Florida?
Our business in our sales in Florida are good compared to many other areas of the United States. To begin with, our product line is very spring-summer geared. If you look at, we don't sell heavy garments, we don't sell outerwear, we license those activities. So we are very much, we have always been looked at as a maker of lighter garments, let's call it. And so in that sense, we are very Florida. Nobody looks at us to buy outerwear.
It's what happens when you've got a fashion design, a company based in South Florida. You're not looked at as a designer of warm weather, or rather cold weather, outerwear. That's George Feldenkrais, the chairman and CEO of Perry Ellis International, speaking with us here on WLRN, the Sunshine Economy. Join the conversation ongoing online at WLRN.org. Tweet us those pictures of South Florida fashion at WLRN. Be sure to use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Still to come on the program, touring a fashion factory right here in South Florida, in Hialeah, where designer Rene Ruiz hopes to bring the fashion industry back to our region.
Literally, it was there's no fashion industry here. What we have been able to like keep is a little bit of a fashion image to the world. You know, have Fashion Week in Miami Beach and things like that, but no real buyers and no real industry. But it's just difficult to compete with places like China and Central America and all of that.
This is the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN, talking about the fashion industry in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. You can see some of the examples of what listeners have posted as fashion styles in South Florida on the website to conversation at WLRN.org. And tweet us more of those shots on Twitter at WLRN, hashtag Sunshine Economy. Now, this may be the sound of bringing fashion manufacturing back to South Florida, at least high-end fashion manufacturing. Of course, that comes along with some big price tags. This is a sewing machine. It's not a computer-controlled, high-tech gadget. It's not a big room-sized machine. This is an old-school, belt-driven, foot-pedal, hands-on-the-fabric kind of sewing machine. This is in Hialeah, where designer Rene Ruiz opened a 10,000-foot clothing factory this past spring. This is where he designs and makes his high-end women's fashions. He has just over 50 employees. He's got a payroll of about $100,000 per month. Now, when we visited the factory, it was busy fulfilling orders from Neiman Marcus and getting his next collection ready to show to buyers in New York.
This is for our new collection we're showing spring. And we're going to be showing in New York like in a few weeks. So we all, like, as you can see, everybody's doing something. And we're doing this kind of like celadon green, gray color for like Mother of the Bride and like events like that. So that's for a pre-spring collection. And it's all organza with this fabric that actually the fabric comes from France. It's a summer brocade, we call it, and it's all hand-beaded. As you can see, it's very romantic and feminine.
This was entirely designed and made here in Hialeah?
Yes, entirely designed and made here in Hialeah. Came from my head.
And this will be destined for where?
Well, we're showing it in New York, but eventually a very fabulous mother of the bride would be wearing to her daughter's wedding or son's wedding or some black tie event somewhere in the country.
Would this go to the buyers of Neiman Marcus, for instance?
Probably yes.
Yeah.
Hopefully they will buy it. I'm sure they would like tweak it and try to make me change it to their things. But eventually, you know, some kind of version of this would end up there.
Tell me about opening this plant here in Hialeah and what the opportunities are you saw to stay local.
Well, mainly it's not just about the controlling the quality and the creative part of what I do. I also see a need for jobs in our community, and that is something that is very important, because these are friends and families and people that do need a job and they need to learn, you know, a trade. You know, not everybody. I think we become a city of just basically service, you know, is tourism or, you know, financials and things like that. And we don't make anything. I remember when I was going to school and growing up here in Hialeah, there were thousands of factories. People could go from one place to the next, and people, we were making things in America then. And now I just feel kind of like proud and like I have a nice feeling when I walk around and I see young people like them that just come into this country and people that actually were raised here, that are actually doing things that they like and they getting a chance like I did.
Have you found it difficult at all to find the kind of talented seamstresses and skilled manufacturers that you need to run this kind of operation?
Very difficult. That's one of the most challenging parts of the business, because the people here that are coming to get these jobs, they don't have any training. So in the old days, they were there was so much work that you were able to like train people, and they would be it was not so cost effective like today.
Yeah.
Like it is today.
How have you addressed that as an employer? Have you provided on-the-job training? Do you provide kind of mentoring and internships, that kind of thing?
That's what we do, and we have young students that just graduated, like Celia. They just graduated from school, and they like started interning here, and now they're actually employees.
Celia Antonio.
And what did you study in school?
Fashion design.
If not for this internship, would you have had to leave South Florida to continue your fashion career?
Most likely, yes. Because there aren't that many jobs here for that. I would have moved to New York.
So, Renee, her experience speaks to you having to essentially provide training. So what would your message be to, you know, local leaders in the educational world here that they need to hear from an operator, from a fashion design manufacturer operator that's providing jobs in this industry?
It's just not an easy place to get things done. I don't know if either government wants you to create jobs, but then it's not easy, especially for somebody creative. You have to surround yourself with all these different kind of people to make it happen. I think it's just a matter of incentivizing the employers so we can help all these people like Celia. And you know, not everybody wants to live in New York, and New York is not the end all. There's so many other places around the world. In Florida, we have so much.
You're 20 years in the fashion industry here locally. How has the industry evolved here in South Florida?
Well, that is a very tricky question, because the fashion industry and the manufacturing industry was thriving 20 years ago, and it just stopped. Literally, there's no fashion industry here. What we have been able to like keep is a little bit of a fashion image to the world. You know, have Fashion Week in Miami Beach and things like that, but no real buyers and no real industry. But it's just difficult to compete with places like China and Central America and all of that.
This is a factory where employees are literally putting their hands on every piece of fabric that goes into your designs. This is not an automated process here. This is very labor intensive.
This is very labor, yeah. We do everything from the first pattern, and from every creation you see, those are my sketches and my drawings and the ideas, how they come. It's just very hands-on.
As you mentioned, Miami has a fashion image, but it doesn't have the fashion industry that it once had. So what's the message that this location says, and what your presence remaining here in South Florida says, do you think?
For me, the most important thing is just being able to control what I was creating. I know that it's done, and all the designers do it, Diane von Fürstenberg, all these people that make the stuff in China, that bring it back and forth and all that. I have a business that is very dependent on what I do, and I like to feel in my creations. I like to see what I'm doing. I like to, as you can see, I'm very hands-on in what I do.
How do you find that balance between the creative demands of the industry and the operational side of just continuing to have the business open?
That is a good question, because the bigger we're getting, the more difficult it becomes to like really stay creative and focus on what I really want to do. One of the reasons that I stay here in Florida and I've been successful in Florida is because I've always been able to like compromise. It's a big balance, being creative enough and dealing with clients and making sure that your designs also are comfortable and beautiful and people like them and commercial. So that is always being a challenge. In fashion, especially in Florida, it is a difficult thing, because people in the industry, like people from New York and all the parts of the world, they don't want to take you serious, you know. They, you know, if you're not in Vogue and that kind of like mafia fashion business, then you're not taken seriously.
Rene Ruiz at his factory in Hialeah. Certainly, he is taken seriously in the world of high fashion from right here in South Florida. Still to come here on the Sunshine Economy on WLRN,
The fashion industry is more than just what we wear, it's an attitude. It's a lifestyle, and Spencer Annell of Island Company in West Palm Beach sees it in moving pictures.
We really consider ourselves more of a entertainment company versus a fashion company, because at the end of the day, most fashion or lifestyle brands are trying to portray an image to people, and that's probably better conveyed through cinema.
This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. We're talking about the fashion industry today in South Florida. We've got an online discussion going on at WLRN.org where Liz posted this. I went to a concert the other night and people were so dressed down, it was pathetic. There is not much fashion consciousness here. Well, so much of what we think of as the fashion industry certainly is intertwined with the entertainment industry. What stars wear on the red carpet, music videos, the right clothes on the right person at the right time, and boom, a fashion craze is born. If Miami Style has a soundtrack, it may sound something like this. After all, this was the music of the official Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week Swim YouTube channel for its Miami event, held over 5 days in late July. Now this is what you may hear if you call Island Company in West Palm Beach.
Island Company is a top premier lifestyle resort company that started out providing apparel for most of the resorts in the tropics. And then eventually we opened our own stores, and we have 6 stores worldwide and are planning on opening more. So we're both a wholesale company and a direct retail company.
That's Spencer Antle. He founded the Florida-based clothing company in Miami Beach. He migrated north as Annell worked to create a clothing company that reflected his lifestyle.
Coming from a film background, I view most of the stuff that we do as cinema. So in our stores, it's not just a experience with the clothes. It's also an experience with music playing, sights, sounds, smells, trying to entice all of the senses.
That atmosphere Antle has created has led to stores in the U.S., one on Grand Cayman, and there are plans for 4 more stores to open next year. Antle also sells his bikinis, island casual linen shirts, and other pieces at resorts throughout the Caribbean. He has 55 employees in Palm Beach County. He expects to do $12 million in sales this year. That's 5 times the business he did just 5 years ago. And it's that kind of growth that has landed Island Company on Inc. magazine's list of the 5,000 fastest-growing companies in the United States. It's been on that list now 4 years running.
I think being down here, it gives us an advantage, especially being out of Miami, because Miami does have fashion influence that stems from New York and Latin America. But being up in here, we're in a vacuum. And so it allows us to really prosper.
Certainly that's much more satisfying, but do you find it that much more difficult and challenging on the wholesale business to get that product noticed?
No, because what we provide is something that can sell anytime. We've had shirts that we've been selling that have been top sellers either in both resorts or in our stores year after year after year that we haven't changed any detail on. So when you're classic, I mean, some of the biggest companies in the world, whether it ranges from, you know, say Ralph Lauren or Tommy Hilfiger or, you know, Abercrombie, maybe even, Lilly Pulitzer is an example as well. A lot of these companies were always the same year after year. They develop a trust with their customers. So it's actually easier by virtue of the fact that we don't have to change that much. We just have to be true to our own identity.
True to that identity from West Palm Beach, Florida. Now, that identity is key to any business. It's all about branding. That's certainly true in the fashion industry. After all, there's many fashion labels that are making themselves into lifestyle brands, not just clothing brands. Customers buy the shirt, you buy the shoes, you buy the sunglasses. Yes, you even buy the music, maybe the perfume. Antle is trying to do the same, attempting it from West Palm Beach.
People walk into the stores and I have conversations with them where they'll be sitting at our bar and they'll say, oh, this is a great concept you came up with. And I said, I didn't come up with this concept. This is my life. And they say, well, what do you mean? I said, well, this is literally my life. Every part of this bar, every part of this store has something to do with something that had effect on me in my travels.
Antle grew up in Boston. He discovered the Caribbean and fell in love, traveled throughout the islands for years, and that influenced his design of his clothes and design of the lifestyle brand. And yeah, you heard him right. Customers shopping for clothes at Island Company stores, sitting at a bar. Well, it's a rum bar, actually. This is South Florida, after all. In a clothing store, selling fashion designed in South Florida. Antle is dedicated to capturing the entire island spirit. He's still a businessman. He's still cost conscious. He doesn't make his clothes here.
It's impossible to manufacture locally. I mean, people do it, but the cost structure is just very, very difficult.
That's a business decision. It's an operations decision. He lists the locales that he does manufacture clothes, and it's a where's where of fashion manufacturing. Hong Kong, Italy, Peru, yes, even Asia is represented with China. That's where Antle's clothes are made, but he sells them in the United States and resorts throughout the Caribbean. Remember how Antle described his overall business philosophy.
We really consider ourselves more of a entertainment company versus a fashion company, because at the end of the day, most fashion or lifestyle brands are trying to portray an image to people, and that's probably better conveyed through cinema. So when you walk into our stores, it's more like you're in a film set rather than a retail store.
But how important is that fashion element, that design element, to the Island Company and the uniqueness of that fashion element in a very competitive marketplace?
I would say that the benefit to us being, say, in Florida has been that we don't follow trends. We don't really engage in seeing what next year is. If you watch trends, you'll see that, you know, the reports will come out with what the colors are for next year. Leopard prints are in, or zebra prints are in, or leather is back, or black is the new gray, etc. And for us, we've never followed that. Being in West Palm Beach has been great because we're not involved with what everybody else is doing. We just kind of stick to our own guns. And I also find that if you watch what the color trends are, they don't change much year to year. They change about 3 to 4 Pantone clicks off of each other, and they just rename them. So really what we end up having is the opportunity to be wholly original by not being surrounded by anybody else.
You talked about being influenced by cinema and your background as a filmmaker. If you had to describe your clothing line as a movie or movies, what movies would you use?
I don't know. Probably one that hasn't been invented, but it would probably be somewhere between La Dolce Vita and something Luc Besson did, in Italy or Greece. I would say that it's probably a movie that I haven't written yet.
Or seen yet, huh?
Well, you know, there's a lot of time, so maybe things will come full circle and I'll make it.
Spencer Antle, the founder of Island Company in West Palm Beach. Perhaps an iconoclast in fashion and lifestyle brands in the making here in South Florida. He's invented his brand from whole cloth, as the saying goes. In his case, that cloth may be linen, maybe made into a shirt or a pair of pants. Still to come here on the Sunshine Economy, when the global fashion giants move next door to you in Miami's Fashion District.
I think that once the neighborhood has these branded stores, it drives the rents, it drives everything. It was very difficult to afford the rents that, you know, Louis Vuitton and these other stores can pay.
It's the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN. Tweet us at WLRN with the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Rhett Thompson just tweeted, never realized there's a fashion industry down here in Miami. Thanks for the eye-opening story. You're more than welcome here. Now, there is a small green sign on Biscayne right near the radio station here. If you're traveling on Biscayne, you may see it. It says Miami Fashion District, and it points to the west. Now, a little bit north of there, over in the Design District, you'll find local fashion designers coexisting, if not competing, with the giant global fashion brands like Louis Vuitton, Prada, and Hermes. This is new. These big corporations of the fashion world only came to the Design District at the end of last year, making neighbors with the locals. Here's Gabriella Watts.
And it's all hand woven on cotton cord, and then we embellish it with sterling silver embellishments and beads.
That's
and
Teresa Turchin of Turchin Love and Light Jewelry explaining their new line of rock and roll inspired merchandise. She designs, manufactures, and sells jewelry with her husband Tommy in the design district. It's a small setup with 6 employees. They expect to sell about $1 million of jewelry this year. Of course, that's small change compared to their neighbor Louis Vuitton, which sold almost $9 billion of merchandise worldwide last year. Louis Vuitton is a couple doors down from Turchin, next to Prada and Pucci. But Turchin was here first, opening in 2007 when the design district wasn't the best location.
You know, initially, years ago, when we first came here 6 years ago, it was a little dangerous. So that's always kind of interesting. It was a little sketchy, which is sort of exciting in a way.
So on opening day, they invited some friends over to shop and started selling their jewelry. Their success since then is due in part to the store's location next to the restaurant Michael's Genuine.
We have a lot of locals that have been with us from the beginning, and locals even that didn't know us in the beginning that are just recently finding us. And they also, a lot of our customers tell their friends and their family, and then they bring their friends and family in.
Audivant's opened up a year after Turchin and Love and Light Jewelry right across the street. It's a multi-brand boutique selling mostly women's high-end clothing. Store owner Karen Quinones originally opened the store on Lincoln Road in 1993, but she moved in 2008 after big fashion retail brands like The Gap, Banana Republic, and BCBG took over South Beach.
And it wasn't my aesthetic. And my landlord, of course, when Apple came in next to me, he bought the building, and my rent quadrupled.
So she moved to the design district and was able to stay in business even though it was difficult. Then 2012 rolled around and the big fashion guns like Louis Vuitton and Marni moved in. But unlike the usual story of big business kills small business, these giant fashion corporations have helped out Quinones. While she won't share how much she expects to sell this year,
but I will say I have seen an increase since the new stores have opened, so I'm very pleased with the increase that we've had.
One benefit of having the corporation so close is it's really easy for Anavant and Turchin to offer something different for their customers, something special, something that doesn't follow South Florida fashion trends or temperatures.
My clients come to me for something that's different. And oddly enough, like, you know, it's almost 100 degrees out, and I'm selling winter coats and puffers like crazy right now. So It doesn't make any sense for someone, you're thinking you're in Miami and you're going to sell a puffer, but yes, I do sell them quite well.
A puffer is a puffy jacket, kind of looks like Michelin Man, but more fashionable.
I think that once the neighborhood has these branded stores, it drives the rents, it drives everything, and it drives out the innovative young people who want to express themselves. It's very difficult to afford the rents that, you know, Louis Vuitton and these other stores can pay.
There's not that much space here to begin with, but I think in the outlying areas it'll start to develop, because there is a need for this type of a space, this type of a store that really adds an interesting dimension.
That's Tommy Turchin of Turchin Love and Light Jewelry. For now, South Florida fashion is holding its own with the giant global brands in the design district. The fashion industry moves fast and consumers are fickle, so what's the next fashion trend?
If there's a couple things I need in my closet this year that everyone should have, is like an oversized slouchy sweatshirt that you can dress up, or like a really cool jogging pant that you can dress up.
Get out those wedge sneakers. Sporty Chic is here. For the Sunshine Economy, I'm Gabriella Watts in Miami.
All right, one of the guys that won't be making sweatshirts anytime soon, but certainly custom shirts for men, and began by making polos for Ralph Lauren back in the 70s and 80s here in Miami. A company named Ike Behar. Lawrence Behar is the senior vice president at Ike Behar, the clothing manufacturing company, retailing and licensing firm that's based here in Miami, joins us now. Lawrence, welcome to the Sunshine Economy.
Good morning. Thank you.
Tell us your thoughts on whether or not Miami has a fashion industry.
Well, it depends what you consider a fashion industry. There's many, many companies doing business here, operating here, but not necessarily manufacturing here. So there are many small companies manufacturing here and many large companies operating here, but producing somewhere else.
And is that a reflection of the lack of capacity to manufacture, or the cost of manufacturing fashion in the United States based upon the price that consumers are willing to pay?
I think a good part of it is the cost, as well as the labor, just finding the skilled labor.
You manufacture worldwide, like a number of the companies who we spoke with here on the Sunshine Economy. You manufacture custom shirts in Hialeah. You manufacture in Italy. You manufacture in Peru. How does the fashion industry manufacturing portion stack up here locally compared to those other global locations?
You know, I wouldn't compare it to those places at all. I mean, it does. I don't think it stacks up at all. You know, a better comparison would maybe be the cottage industry in New York, or more so, maybe even L.A., where there's small companies producing ladies' dresses, outerwear, things like that, sportswear.
Now, economists will say the higher value manufacturing provides a higher value and a higher dollar, certainly, and maybe that's what we're seeing here in South Florida. Ike Behar came to this area originally back in the 70s and 80s to help manufacture polo shirts for Ralph Lauren. Now you're doing more custom-made work. Tell us about how South Florida has influenced Behar's style, if not business practices.
Well, the other day we just found out that Florida, not necessarily South Florida, but the whole state, is our fourth largest market.
Behar operates worldwide, sells globally via Phillips Van Heusen. You license the brand of Phillips Van Heusen.
Right.
And Florida as a state, your fourth largest market.
Correct.
Significant.
Which, yeah, we were kind of shocked about that fact. But, you know, I guess a lot of it is in Central Florida, where there's still a corporate world there.
Sure, sure. Are you saying that suits and men's custom shirts don't sell necessarily so well here in South Florida?
Not as much, I guess. Hmm. Although I would like to point out for our listeners that you and I are both in a suit and tie.
That's
tonight.
Right. I have my Miami blue suit on, as I introduced at the top of the program. You've got a nice gray on today. So give us an idea from Ike Behar's perspective, Lawrence. What does the South Florida fashion industry need to do to remain competitive, number one, with all those global manufacturing centers, but number two, to grow opportunities?
To remain competitive, I think the labor is a key part of it, because that's your key cost component. Yep. And it's the competition is great out there.
We've heard a lot about education. We heard from George Feldenkrais earlier from Perry Ellis, who you know certainly,
sure,
talked about really the lack of a combination of design and retail education experience brought together. Do you experience that as well here?
To a certain extent, for sure.
And you're expanding into retail. So are you having to go outside of South Florida, even outside of Ike Behar, to find that talent to expand into retail brands, retailing?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where are you finding it?
I mean, there's a lot of good talent. Obviously, it's more in the metropolitan areas like New York, Chicago,
all right,
L.A.
So finally, I've got to ask you about a South Florida style. Is there a South Florida style? You've been down here since the mid-90s.
There is. And, it's not necessarily my business, but, you know, I mean, it's a bathing suits and t-shirts and shorts.
Absolutely. I will say, though, you've got a light gray suit on today. It's going to be a hot and humid one, so you're dressed smart for the weather here. Lawrence Behar along with us. He's the senior vice president at Ike Behar. Still to come here on the fashion, on the Sunshine Economy with fashion. Certainly it's business, but this being South Florida, it's also a lot of fun, and we certainly do have our own unique styles. This is the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Hudson. Fashion is big business, certainly. It's very serious business. It's also about what we wear. South Florida has its own style. In fact, I would argue it has several styles. Margarita sent us a photo of South Florida fashion style on Instagram. She describes it as, quote, being bold about it, as in all white everything, wearing whatever you want, whenever you want, because you can. Now, she posted a selfie. That's a self-portrait. All white, top, blazer, and skirt. Only in Miami, though, I would say that all white is considered being bold. Oscar tweeted us that Miami needs to be dressed up a bit, but in our climate, dressed up does not mean black suits. And we've also got a photo of Oscar on our website at WLRN.org. Now, there's a clear difference between South Florida fashions. What you can get away with on Miami Beach, very different than Palm Beach, certainly different than Key West. Marilyn from Fort Lauderdale, picked up on this, saying, yes, Miami is more dressy, Latino style, high heels, tight jeans, low-cut tops, lots of bling. Fort Lauderdale, a bit more casual, a bit more conservative. Pauline wrote to us, Miami fashion isn't fashion at all. It's just comfort wear combined with an occasional sexy outfit. She also admitted to us that she spends maybe $1,000 a month on clothing. But not everyone we spoke to was so extravagant.
Hi, my name is Jasmine. I think that sort of fashion style is definitely a sundress, whether it's a yellow one with a white polka dot or a red one with white polka dots, with a light, light-colored jacket or blazer for the ladies. That's the South Florida fashion style.
All right, a polka-dotted sundress with a light blazer. Looks pretty good. Now, Martha thinks she has South Florida fashion boiled down to its essence.
To me, South Florida style can best be described in three words.
All right, what are those? Sunshine, sweat, and suave? Maybe flip, flop, and provocative?
Number one, cool.
Oh, cool. Well, it is hot here, yeah, and we also certainly like to look good.
Wearing lightweight and breathable fabrics, such as linen and cotton, is a must in our steamy weather. But looking and feeling cool and trendy is also just as important to South Floridians. We love brand names, but we hate to admit it.
Yeah, isn't that true? So got it. Cool. Staying cool and looking cool.
Number two would be short.
Short. Yes, we do like short clothes, but I imagine that goes along with it being so hot here.
Whether it's shorts, skirts, short shorts, long shorts, short pants, skin is always in sunny South Florida.
Ha ha. Short to show some skin. Yeah, so that's certainly true.
And number three, colorful.
Colorful. Our bright oranges, deep blues, searing greens. Let's face it, we live in a tropical colorscape, so this makes sense.
Rich, vibrant colors and tropical prints and patterns.
Yeah, so we can get away with dressing loudly. Just blame our surroundings. Now, some of us, though, still like to throw on what's just comfortable, if not fashionable. After all, we may be driven to it by what we do in those clothes.
Jeans and t-shirts are what we wear, since a dog training hobby is what we share. Sandals aren't safe to run with the dogs, and neither are clunky old shoes called clogs. So socks and tennis shoes really are best. When nighttime comes, in slippers we'll rest.
Some practical fashion tips, South Florida or not, written by Marge Miller, read there to us by her daughter, Debbie Bates, dog trainers. As Debbie also wrote to us, my mom is very clever with her rhymes. She just hasn't kept up with the times. But training dogs is her passion. She just doesn't care that much for fashion. We've got more online at WLRN.org. In fact, we'll have a video posted there later about some manufacturing that's going on in Hialeah with Rene Ruiz and a Cuban immigrant who's new to the United States, just months new, and learned the skill at the sewing machine at Rene Ruiz Designs in Hialeah. We'll have that video posted a little bit later on WLRN.org. This is the Sunshine Economy. Now I'm Tom Hudson. Coming up next Monday on the Sunshine Economy, Powering Paradise. We'll be talking about energy in South Florida. You know, the Sunshine State has no real fossil fuels to help power our lives. Instead, we burn oil. A little bit less and less every day, but we are burning more and more natural gas, and that oil and natural gas comes from elsewhere. Over 6 years, demand for natural gas to generate electricity in our state has jumped by almost 50%. That has helped explain the push to build natural gas pipelines through Florida. We'll take a look at that coming up next Monday. Meantime, the Sunshine State is third in the nation in electricity generated by solar energy. We're also one of the top states for demand for gasoline. Could our car culture adapt to electric vehicles? That's all coming up next Monday right here on WLRN on the Sunshine Economy. Ready to wear or custom tailored, the latest style of flip-flops, a t-shirt or shorts? What we wear is a statement about who we are. It also provides clues about where we're from and where we may be going. This is the Sunshine Economy. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening to WLRN.